Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. Put an emphasis on in the water because we have Olympic gold medalist. That's right, the reigning champ and the 100-meter butterfly UT alum Joseph Schooling joining the show today. So buckle up, get excited, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game.
Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone! Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out. Hard hit into right. Back at the wall. Tie game.
John Cena.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitcher free throws, because they're free. So 294 coming hot at you guys. And so 293. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Tossian, the Octosopolis, Nikki Snacks Kreider. And you heard it in the introduction, and you'll hear it again. Joseph Schooling, Olympic gold medalist, the first Olympic gold medalist for Singapore. Incredible stuff. Incredible show. Don't want to take too long because we want to get into it. We want to dive in the pool, ladies and gents. But we got to remind you that we are brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline.ag, go bet, make some nice bets, put your money where your mouth is, there's futures on there. I would throw some money on the Lakers, maybe sprinkle some money on the Bucks. Drew Holiday, Giannis going at it, they looked good. I would throw some money on Devonta Smith winning the Heisman. It's kind of out of left field, but that could happen. The Packers, who knows, but you can do it all on BetOnline.ag, not to be confused with KG, the Sandman. In that movie, what's that? I almost said Righteous Gemstones. You know, Uncut Gems, that one with the Sandman and KG. That one was great. But it's not as great as this episode with Joseph Schooling. So get excited. Without further ado, the Charity Stripe team and Joseph Schooling, enjoy. All right, guys, you heard it in our intro, but we are honored today to have a fellow UT alum. It's always great when we have one of these in the house. Not only is he a UT alum, but he holds the Olympic record for the 100-meter butterfly. He's the reigning champ at the Olympics, gold medalist, the first gold medalist in Singapore history. Joseph Schooling, how you doing today, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Doing well, man. How are you?
We're good. Cannot complain. I know we obviously want to talk about your career, your new app, but we have to address the elephant in the room as Texas alums and fans. Are you as gutted as we are about the football season? Is it just us? Is it bled into the swimming community as well?
That's a loaded question, man. But of course, you know, no matter what sport you're in, you want your fellow Longhorns to do well, whatever it is, whatever beef you have with them. So definitely the Texas season, it was definitely hyped up. but I'm sure our boys will bounce back and onto the next one, right?
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully. I mean, at least you bring up the beef. That's interesting because I'm sure there's some quiet jealousy because low-key, Texas swimming is absolutely dominant, man. Absolutely dominant. How do you end up there?
Yeah, so I went to high school in Florida, and I got recruited by a couple of schools. Texas happened to be one of them. Took a trip out there, found out that I loved the guys, woke up the next day in Jester, feeling like I had to be a part of this team, this family, and the rest is history, man.
Nice. The waking up the next day in Jester is always the kicker. I woke up a little hungover the next day in Jester, but I'm glad you felt a good sense of family and connection, man. And speaking of like family and connection and like representation, because you know the UT alums and the UT community is so – everyone bleeds burnt orange. I would love to hear about your passion for your country and what it really meant to you to be like the guy. I mean, Nick, we were talking about earlier. Nick, what do you call him, the Manny Pacquiao of Singapore? Yeah.
Like the Manny Pacquiao of Singapore, man. I mean, you're their prince.
Man, Nick, if you compare me to Manny, you're making me blush, man. I mean, that guy is leaps and bounds over anything that I can dream of becoming in my own country. So, you know, it's definitely a good spot to be in. It's a huge honor to be in this position. And I think the most important thing that I've learned over the last 4 years is just the position that you're in and the ability to affect change on someone else's life. That's the kicker, you know. That's where your cherry, your whipped cream's coming on top. That's where your whole sundae is. So just being in this spot, being able to do what I do on a daily basis, helping everyone that I can out, affecting change, is enough in itself.
And you're the first gold medalist for your country ever, any sport. At what point prior to winning the gold did the possibility of that set in? Did you kind of realize, oh wait, I have a real shot here?
Yeah, so the June before the Olympics happened in August. So 2 months before the Olympics, Phelps came down and swam in one of the Austin Swim Series in Texas.
Yeah.
And I just edged him in the 100 fly. I remember being dead tired. And after that race, I thought, you know, if I can pull this off, being this tired and this beaten up in practice, once I get some rest, once you go to the Rio atmosphere, anything can happen, right? At that point, you don't think you're going to win just because you beat Phelps in an in-season meet. He's always better at the end of the year. But it gives you that glimmer of hope that you just might.
Yeah. I mean, it's that in itself must be shocking. I don't think if I was running along the pool and he was doing the butterfly, I don't think I could beat him the length. Like full, and I'm not like slow. I don't want you to look at me and be like, all right, this guy's got no speed.
That's enough.
Yeah, I'm in the middle. I'm like the happy medium. But I think he's totally. How do you even end up like the butterfly is like the craziest stroke. I like took a swim class at UT and they kind of did it and I was like, all right, I can do this for like a length or two. But at the speed you do it, an Olympic record speed, how do you even end up in that stroke?
Yeah. Before I answer that question, I got to ask you one too.
Yeah.
You said you took a swim class. Was your swim coach Don Crowley?
Yes, 100%. My swim coach was Don Crowley.
I love that guy, man. He's the man. Don helped us. We teamed the swim class for one semester, and he was super cheap.
He's a great. Yeah, he's a great guy. I mean, he's such a good guy. He's, you know, he was, and everyone was like, I was actually a decent swimmer because I swam a lot, like just as a workout. And my dad like was like a swimmer when growing up, and he, whatever level you were at, he was so chill. He was cool with like letting you do your thing, but he was also pretty instructive. Like I was just going there to like have like to get my workout out during the day, like, you know, to save time. But I actually ended up learning something, which is, hey, you're in a class. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Right. it's a good positive of it. But he was really, really good dude.
Yeah. He's a really good guy, man. But to answer your question, butterfly is probably the most unnatural stroke out there. You know, you got your arms coming out, you got your legs doing something that you hope you think is right. But it requires a lot of upper body strength and requires a strong kick to anchor your stroke as well. So to master that stroke is probably the toughest stroke to master. And if you ask me how I got to butterfly, it just kind of happened. You know, I started out backstroke, progressed to breaststroke freestyle, and then made my way through butterfly. And by the end of it, it just stuck, you know. I was winning butterfly events. It was the stroke that I had the most passion about, and it kind of clicked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty remarkable stroke when you're watching. It's like, all right, I get how like a dolphin could kind of do that with their body, but human beings is crazy. I mean, there's this the whole sport of swimming is is crazy. Do you feel like, I mean, now that you, what, you're 25 right now, correct?
25 this year.
Is it, we had Missy Franklin on the show. She was dominant when she was young. Phelps obviously had the longevity of his career, but he even himself was dominant when he was young. Are you feeling like you're in your prime right now, or what's the age? How do you feel about age in swimming? Would be the better question.
Yeah, so that's a great question, actually. I don't get that question a lot, so you've definitely done your homework.
Glad, man. I'm glad. Do it long enough. Bound to hit a home run once a day.
So the prime for swimming, it used to be in your 22s to 24s. Mm-hmm. That used to be that prime range. But with technology, modern recovery, modern nutrition, new ways of training, that prime is actually stretched. I'd say my personal take on that would be 25 years old, anywhere into 31, 32, you know.
Really?
Really?
I think the first thing that gives way is your mind. Your body can still continue, but doing the same stuff every single day, waking up, jumping in a cold pool, giving up a lot of things outside of the pool just so you're ready to go, I think that's the hard part, man, mentally. So body-wise, you can swim up to 31, 32. Phelps in Rio was 31. Lochte's still swimming right now. He has to be, I think, 36 or 37 this year, and he's still doing pretty well. So age is just a number, you know. We got all these methods to recover, all these methods to get better. And I think the sky's the limit. It's how badly you want it.
Yeah.
So you're saying the schooling golden age.
Sorry, what was that?
So you're saying we're entering the schooling golden age.
The golden era, dude. These are our Clooney years. We got to take advantage of them.
True.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, I'll look at myself and call myself Clooney for, going forward from now on.
As I was just kind of doing a little bit of research on you, Joseph, I saw that your grand uncle was the first Olympian for Singapore. And so you're obviously, you know, Josh That's mentioned crazy. Before, you're the first gold medal winner from Singapore. So was that a conversation? Both your parents were athletes as well. Was that a conversation from a young age that was talked about? Was the sight always set on the Olympics, or was it kind of just like you coming into your own as an athlete and then setting that as you progressed?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tass. So my uncle Lloyd Velberg was Singapore's first. I think he did, he was a high jumper, and he was the first Olympian in the 1948 London Olympics. So my first Olympics, weirdly enough, was 2012 in London. Now the results weren't what I wanted or what I thought. Yeah, but I mean, you know, you learn. It's kind of like baptism by fire. But at the same time, you just bring it up, brings back crazy memories. I didn't want to be an Olympian, you know. I just wanted to have fun in the pool, and I enjoyed racing. It wasn't until around 7, 8 years old where I told my parents, and at this point it might have been fluff, because 7, 8-year-olds, you know, what do we know better, right? And I said, I want to be the Olympic champion. I want to stand on top of that podium. And my parents must have been like, yeah, all right, go for it, son. Like, you know, but in their minds, they must have been, this kid has no idea what he's talking about, but he has wild aspirations at such a young age. So, you know, why not? Let's go after it. And my dad tracked my performance from 7 to 15 years old. I was getting better and better. I was ranked with the top swimmer, age group swimmers in the US, and I had potential. So in 2009, I moved to Florida, trained under my now coach, Sergio. He was in Bulls then, and came to Texas, won a gold medal with Eddie. And it's been a wild ride since.
Yeah. Your
parents have definitely, I watched a video, you know, of you and your parents, on the Olympics YouTube, and they seem awesome. Like, they seem like they're the most supportive and they are your biggest believers, which is great. And that's so important to have in your corner.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I mean, parents is everything, you know. You're shaped by your parents. So you're only going to get as good as, I guess this sounds kind of bad, but how good your parents let you be. Without my parents exposing me to international competition, without my parents sacrificing so much to send me to the States. Thankfully, I'm an only child. If I had a brother or sister, I don't think my parents would have been able to afford that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just got really lucky. I'm just a lucky kid from a small country that had huge aspirations and came out on the right side, you know? So it's, what can we do with this right now? We can do a lot of special things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you bring that up. I always tell my sisters they ruined my life. They ruined everything for me. I could have been somebody. I could have been a contender. Sorry, Nick, though. You had.
What do you do?
Right. Yeah, man. But you know, you're from Singapore, and this is something we all found kind of crazy. Was you still have to serve? Am I correct in thinking that you do?
Yeah, I do. So every 18-year-old male in Singapore has to serve mandatory 2 years in the army. We call it national service, and I'm deferred right now. But as soon as I'm done swimming, I've already had talks with the army, and I'll have to go in, basically, long story short, for 22 months. So that's kind of the next thing on the horizon after swimming. Kind of weird.
That's a pretty rare thing that they defer that, right?
Yeah, it's never been done before. I was the first one to get deferred. We've had a fellow swimmer get deferred as well. He goes to Berkeley. And, you know, it's, I think the first one through the wall is always bloody, right? My parents fought super hard with the Army to give me this deferment just to pursue my Olympic dreams. And at that point of time, after coming off London, really, man, I wasn't sure if they were going to give me that deferment. So the government took a chance in me, a leap of faith or whatever you want to call it. And I think they made the right choice, you know.
Yeah. Well, did you feel that pressure going in? Is that like a totally, I feel like people don't realize that you're even going through that. Is that a big pressure in the back of your mind?
Absolutely. But in the moment, you try to stay present as possible. Yeah. But once your mind slips, man, you can definitely fall into a pretty bad spot. Yeah. But yeah, I just try to be the best version of yourself in a given time, you know, win, lose, whatever it is. If I be the best version of myself as possible, I think I have a pretty good shot at beating anyone.
Yeah, totally. And this may be a really, really, really dumb question, but you're going to go through with the service, right? You're going to go rip the army.
Yeah, man, I got no choice.
Good for you. good on you, man. I mean, listen, we're in America. We're like born Americans. It's rare for someone nowadays to really love their country. I mean, there's so much turmoil over here that, I mean, good for you for going back and sticking true to that. I mean, it's similar. I have friends in Israel though. They're in a similar situation where, you know, it's just part of the deal. That's crazy, man. But it's a blessing they let you go. Holy! I didn't know that was like up. I didn't know how up in the air that was. I feel like I kind of imagine like, all right, this kid's great. Let's let him go win a gold. I didn't know they were like kind of, you know, butting heads with mom and dad. Low key MVPs for real.
Man, without mom and dad, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah,
literally.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But you spoke about giving back, and we got to dig deep into your new app. You have an app coming out, a fitness app. We'd love to hear about that. Tell us a bit more. What separates it? What makes it different? Why should I quit Peloton and go to you?
Quit Peloton and come to Schooling Sport, because it doesn't matter what your aspirations are. You don't have to be the next Tour de France champion. You don't have to be the next Olympic gold medalist. You know, we want to make Schooling Sport more of a lifestyle app. It's a training app for sure, but it's specifically tailored to each individual. So the thing that sets our app apart would be, let's say, okay, Josh, for example,
you want to gain
10-15% in strength, right? We're going to train you in certain zones. So our app has an intuitive biometrics system, which allows you to train and stay in specific zones. And what that does is it prevents burnout. No one wants to hit an app or hit a workout for 1-2 weeks and feeling like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
This is terrible. This is tough. That's not what you want. Sports and, you know, fitness in general, lifestyle is all about longevity. And we want to keep people on there for as long as possible. Your journey doesn't have to end in 1-2 months. Like I said, this is about changing your life. This is about changing your lifestyle. And this is just another tool to give people to get to where they want, you know? Mm-hmm. So how this app came about.
Yeah, I dug into it. I haven't tested it yet, but I can say to the people listening, it looks legit as hell. So that I can give it the big L for legit. That much I can say. And I'm stoked to check it out, man. Was that something you had always... Did that fall into your lap kind of thing? Or did you, while you were looking ahead, because eventually, I mean, Kobe Bryant talked about it, like the second act. I mean, it's been such a big thing for athletes. And obviously this is something you want to take forward. When did you start realizing you wanted to really be in the fitness space?
Yeah, you know, this idea kind of came about earlier this year, around January time, late December last year. And the idea came about when we figured, why do you need to go to a gym anymore? And then COVID hit. And you guys weren't in Singapore, but when I went back in March, we were on lockdown. No one could leave. You weren't even allowed to see your parents if you're living apart from them. It was crazy. It was total chaos, man. And people either went in two directions. One, they got really healthy. Or two, they got the COVID-19, you know, freshman 15, COVID-19, COVID-20.
the real COVID-19 over the app. My God, Jesus.
Yeah, so they went in one or two directions, you know. And people working out at home, it inspired me and my team to come up with this app. And we partnered with Pear. Pear is a great team, great group of people. And we used their app, tweaked it a little bit, added some of my personal workouts that I do. And everything kind of, the stars aligned, everything fell in place, you know. We got the app moving, we hit a couple hiccups, we got that sorted through. And at the end of the day, we launched in Singapore, we launched everywhere. And the response was a lot better than we anticipated. So the need for this at-home training, an alternative tool that people can use, the demand is there. You just got to find something that people like.
Yeah.
So like I said, circling back to your goals, your targets, you don't have to be a world-class athlete to use this app, even though that might be some people's first thoughts, and totally understandable. People, you know, you can be 16, 18, 20, 50 years old, whatever it is. You just need a certain target, some goals in mind, where you want to end up, and we'll get you there. Mm-hmm. We'll get you there the right way.
Yeah. Does it help working on this while you're training for the Olympics to kind of have something else to do other than swimming? Because we've talked about with other like swimmers, because swimming can be a little bit of a lonely sport. You're in there in the water by yourself. So does something like working in a group like this really help you kind of almost in training to take your mind off of it?
Absolutely. You know, in school, so I want to circle back a little bit.
Yeah,
you guys know this guy named Chris Kubik. And when I was about to graduate, he's probably one of the best coaches. He was assistant coach until 2016 for the Texas swim team. And Chris said, you know, Joe, after you're done swimming, you're going to have a lot of time on your hands. So much time that you're not sure what you're going to do with that time. And I'm like, Chris, you're crazy, man. I don't have to go to class. I don't have to walk all the way to RLM at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's awesome. I can stay in bed. That's sweet, man. And it wasn't until 6, 7, 8 months later that I'm like, you know what? This is crazy. Chris might be right. Swimming, thinking about your sport, thinking about one thing all the time, it can be negative, you know? Like outside the pool, I try not to think about swimming at all. But once you don't have essays to do, once you're done with tests to study for, your mind can start to wander. So I'm blessed, I'm lucky to have a great team around me that helped me build this app and a lot of great minds behind it. So like I said, the stars aligned. It was something great also to think about different alternatives to what's after and capitalize on it and just try to make a great product, a great tool for people to use and get better.
Yeah.
Have you picked up anything else during the pandemic? Any other hidden talents or passions? I see that guitar case in the background there.
Dude, let's go. I joined that club as well. Good call, Nick. I didn't see that.
Yeah, man. No guitars for me right now. I wish. I'm not very musically inclined. I can try, but it ain't going to work too pretty, man. I ain't no Santana, but I did pick up some cycling. So Josh, you talking about Peloton, that was actually pretty cool. Picked up some cycling. Couldn't really swim over the pandemic. Everything was on lockdown. The most we could do was go out and exercise by ourselves. So cycling it was. I learned how to play Sudoku. I know that might sound pretty nerdy, but man, that kills time, dude.
No, that game was great.
Would you ever consider doing an Ironman? We had, a couple weeks ago, the first ever Down syndrome Ironman, athlete. Chris Ninkins, yeah. Would you ever consider doing an Ironman now that you've kind of added cycling in there?
You know, I've never thought about that. I think I could definitely do the swim. The cycling is manageable, but the part that would absolutely just destroy me would be the run.
Really?
I cannot run to save my life. I got the flattest feet out there. I got double jointed ankles and knees. I think if I run 5 kilometers, I'm done, man. So
you're made for the water.
Yeah, I'm made for the water. If there's an Ironman relay, I'd be totally down for that.
They have those. There's a, I don't know if you know David Goggins. If you don't, check him out. There's marathon relays, but he's like one of those guys that like does the relay, by himself. And it's just pretty, it's pretty like, what are we doing? Like 100 miles on your foot by yourself. But yeah, man, we always ask our guests this. It's one of our favorite questions. Everyone always gets it across the board. Could be anything. Anything we've never seen, anything from your childhood. Could be you watching as a fan, but what is your favorite sports memory all time?
Oh, gosh. Okay, I got this one. So I'm not, obviously not going to use myself. That'd just be terrible and boring. So I'd say 2017 Super Bowl, Houston, Patriots, Falcons, 28-3 at halftime. Dude, that was my first Super Bowl I went to live.
Oh, you went?
I don't know if I should be saying
that. Oh, yeah. I saw pictures on your Instagram. You took a picture of Shaq, Tom Hardy. You guys had all your Pats gear on. Josh is a big Pats fan, so.
Huge Pats fan. I'm a Pats fan, too.
Huge.
But I probably hopped on the bandwagon a lot later than you did, so. I don't think I'm a real Pats fan. Can't say that. But, yeah, 2017 Super Bowl in Houston, man, after a UFC fight. That was probably my most memorable weekend ever.
I can't believe you were at that game. What a crazy game. So when did you jump on the Patriots bandwagon? Was it in that moment when you're like, this is the greatest fandom of all time? I'm just gonna hop ship here.
One of my good buds, his name is Ryan Hardy. He's still at Texas, actually. I think he's about to graduate. He's from Boston. So he got me onto the Patriots bandwagon. He's born and bred Boston, but he bought me a Patriots sweatshirt one day. And I was like, Tom Brady. Watched the game. Dude, this guy's phenomenal. At his age, the way he's playing, the way he's moving, I'm not sure at the Bucks, but when I saw him at the Pats, it was something special. So, you know, I like greatness, and great.
Yeah, I mean, you say the age of prime is 25 to 31. That guy's 42 years old, still slinging it.
Yeah, man. I don't know how he does it, but whatever he's doing, keep doing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm naming my first kid guy or girl Brady. I'm that committed. I mean that
game is like, if you had just said that you watched that game on TV, you could have picked that as your favorite sports memory. You know what I mean? Like, that game was that crazy. It was that ridiculous of a game. So to be there in person, that's really awesome. Also, Tom Brady has a fitness brand himself. So outside of the sport, he's doing a similar thing to you. So maybe that's someone to you know, connect with down the line and talk about things with.
I was about to say, we got to get you guys connected, but I don't know him. So
podcast out, dude. You got to spread the word.
Yeah.
Get Tom to this, and we'll get TB12 and Schooling Sport out.
100%. That's awesome.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. Joseph, thank you so much for joining us today, man. Absolute pleasure to have you. We'll be pulling for you. You're kicking off in 2021. You're going Tokyo. It's happening in 2021 for the people. Because I know people are unsure, like, when is this thing going down? But 2021, when the swimming happens, put your USA gear away. Put the Singapore gear on. We're going full schooling on this one. Joseph, thank you so much for joining us, brother.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me, and thanks for your time, man. Had a lot of fun. Take care, and hope to talk to you guys soon.
Of course, man.
Thanks, yeah.
Great episode. Really fun. Really fun one. I don't know what else to say about it. Yeah, we genuinely had a great time. Not that we don't genuinely have a good time on all the shows. We always do. But our age, you know, UT guy, it just hits a little different. And we really enjoyed that. Joseph, thank you for coming on. My friend, hopefully we'll have you back post-Olympics. We're wishing you the best. Go dominate again. Go check out his app. Go get healthy. Go get fitness. Why wouldn't you want some serious training, some serious fitness advice and lifestyle advice from an Olympic champion? Not even being sarcastic, being super serious. I'm going to go check it out because we like Joseph. And it seems legit, as I said in the interview. Without further ado, and no longer keeping you on, we'll let you go and enjoy your merry days and evenings. Fans out there, drag both feet in bounds, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free, and hit your free throws. Why? Because they are free. We out ya. We love ya.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we in here talking about practice.
Clock at 5. pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound Box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.